It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everyone? Jeff Mosher here, Adam Kaplan alongside me. We're going to break down the 2019 Eagles draft. It's finally over, as I say after every draft, Adam, because, you know, the whole draft season is like a season upon to itself. It's just months and months, and I'm glad that it's over. The Eagles came away with 5 picks. They also traded for D linemen, so they came out of the 3-day event with 6 players. Some interesting selections. We're going to break down all of them. I'm just going to put a PSA out here. We're going to hold off on undrafted free agent signings and talk a little bit about that more next week when we do a pod. And then we'll talk next week more also about positional depth, camp battles, things going into OTAs. Right now, for this podcast, we're going to focus solely on the 5 picks that they made, and then we could maybe a little bit about Hassan Ridgeway, who they traded for. But I want first, before we get into individuals, Adam, just your big picture summary on the Eagles draft and how you felt about it.
Right. So going in, you know, obviously I didn't think they would only have 5 picks. That was slightly surprising to me. I thought it would be the opposite, but
agree.
There were reasons for that we'll get to. I felt that they had to come out of this draft with a running back. We're talking about offense first and defense. A running back, a wide receiver, a lineman. I didn't know specifically would be an OT, but they did. They took one as their first pick. I thought they would get a quarterback if they had 8 or 9 picks. I didn't think with 5 picks they would take a quarterback. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And I thought they'd get the developmental safety. They didn't. But again, they only had 5 picks. But in terms of drafting for future need, which is what the draft is, that's the way the good teams draft. The bad teams draft for this year, which is the worst way you can draft. That's why these teams wind up being fired. If you draft the right way, which the Eagles did, you draft for future needs. Dillard, future need. Whiteside, future need. Thorson, a developmental backup, future need. Miles Sanders, current and future need. More for the future, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sharif Miller, future need. So that's the correct way to draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. My overall take, Adam, is, and I'll substitute the term, instead of future need, I always just say highest rated player or best player or player you most value.
Which
is the same, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. It's basically the same way. The Eagles, to me, in a historic draft for defensive players and defensive linemen, by coming out of it with an offensive tackle in the first round, a running back and a receiver in the second round, and then a D end, and then a quarterback, and also and then trading for the lineman. What they did to me, that is the sign of a team that in almost every round that they were in, every round that they picked, they just took the best player that they valued the most, right? They didn't reach. They needed. They absolutely need. If you're going to call about need, linebacker. We've talked about it. Even though they don't value it, they have honestly very, very below average linebacking talent right now. They didn't take a linebacker, right? We talked about a developmental safety. The lack of a third-round pick hurt them there. I think they would have if they had a third-round pick. But they didn't reach for one in that second round where you saw this later in the second round those safeties go. They took the best players, and that's, as you were saying, how you build a team. Because in the end, what your point of the draft is to get as many good players as possible. Don't worry about the positions. Just get great players. Great players lift franchises. They make you cover up your other deficiencies.
You go by your board.
Yeah, you go by your board.
How you have it stacked. It linebacker situation, you've got one startable linebacker to me. It's Najel Bradham.
Who did not have a good year
last
year.
No, he was very inconsistent. Right. Okay,
I like how you called him Najel, by the way. Yeah. That was very French kind of. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Nate Gary and Gruger Hill, when you look at it, it's not good enough, okay?
Right.
They've got plenty of cap space. They're going to add a linebacker.
Right. We can talk about the other way of the act.
This will be for another show, but don't worry about that. We've got plenty of off-season shows. We go into the roster,
right.
Roster depth and all that kind of. That's one show for roster depth. That'll take up a whole show about what they can do and mixing and matching. But I thought overall, based on value, they did well because I ran every player through personnel people I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this guy on your board in terms of round? How's he fit in? And I've got personnel reviews on every player. So, Jeff,
awesome. Let's start.
Take it away.
Yeah, let's start with Andre Dillard. Obviously, the Eagles traded up from 25 to 22 to get him. I'm sure you and I have the same information that the Eagles felt, A, that he was one of their top-rated players, top 10 players,
and
B, they didn't even think he was going to be there at 22.
Yeah, Andre Dillard, depending on who you speak with, was either the first tackle or best tackle for the draft, or he was no worse than third. And I know people want this addressed, so I'm going to address it. What does this mean about Big V? And we'll get back to Dillard as a player.
And Mailata. Yeah, right, in general. I
mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, it was actually Mailata is actually what I was speaking of. Uh-huh. We'll get to Big V in a second. I think what they were doing is it really didn't have anything to do with it, believe it or not. It's by how you mentioned they stacked their board.
Right.
They went by their board, not about, okay, well, we think Jordan Mailata might be the left tackle of the future. If that happens, well, obviously that would not be a good thing if they drafted Dillard. But if Dillard turns out to be who they think he is, backing up Peters this season, and Mailata really does well, folks, Jordan Mailata then has trade value, or maybe they move him to backup right tackle, mm-hmm. becomes a swing tackle, maybe they cross-train him at guard. I wouldn't worry about that. It's more about, is he going to be the future left tackle? Is he going to replace Jason Peters in 2020? The answer is yes.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see how much he may have to play, Andre Dillard, this year, because we've seen injuries all across the line. Already you have Brandon Brooks hurt and hoping to make it by the season opener, but not sure. Jason Peters came out of 11 games last year. Jason Kelce fought through myriad injuries last year. If he were to get hurt, you may have to move Isaac Seumalo from left guard to center, and then you have a guard opening. I asked, and I was told from an organizational source, that they have a belief. They don't know yet. They got to find out that Dillard might be athletic enough to play guard as well. That's something that they don't want, but that's what I was told, that they think he could if needed. But they have guys at guard anyway with Matt Pryor. But if he's good enough to do it and they find that he can play there for a year, maybe you see him there. But but you're right that he is the eventual cornerstone left tackle.
He is the left tackle. They draft him to be that future left tackle. That's the position he'll wind up playing now. The one knock on him from personnel people I trust, they say he needs to get stronger physically.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the only issue you have with him, that if you look at his body, he at the combine, he was 6'5 and 315. Not especially long arms for left tackle. Decent size. The athleticism is incredible. By far the most athletic left tackle for this draft. Let me give you an idea. Second highest three-cone drill of all linemen, guards, tackle, centers. He ran a 7.44 at three cone. He had the best 20-yard shuttle of all offensive linemen. And by the way, this matches up with tape. I don't throw numbers out there unless they match it up with tape.
Correct.
Some people want to just throw out numbers. I don't do that. It doesn't help anybody learn. I want people to learn something. The tape will match up with the numbers. So you're looking at probably, from an athletic standpoint, something you're not getting at 20. There's zero chance you went into the draft thinking he would never get there. So I believe what the Eagles were saying. I was kind of So I said, why was he, I asked people I trust, why was he on the board? Well, the thought around the league was he would go around like 13 to 17.
Yeah, I saw as high as 8 or 9, like 8 to 15 is where.
I don't know if he would have gone.
Depending on what the team needs,
The reality is players drop because something happens they don't expect or they go by their board.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles had him ranked somewhere between 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. Why would you hesitate? Go get him before someone else does.
Right. Now, to dispel some rumors that I guess there was a report. Now, remember, I'm coming back from, I was in Florida last week. There was a report that they tried to trade up with the Dolphins for Christian Wilkins. That's what I've heard.
That was out there, yes.
I was told they did try to trade up as high with the Dolphins at 13. Is that where the Dolphins were? 13, I believe.
Yeah.
But it was not. It was still for Dillard.
Oh, it's for Dillard.
It
okay.
was
for,
two that times. Makes sense. Two other times.
Oh.
They also tried to get up to Carolina, I believe it's 16. Okay. For again, for Dillard, because they were fearful of not just those teams,
okay.
but also Houston obviously was linked to getting a offensive tackle, and they wound up taking Tytus Howard right after Dillard went off the board.
It didn't make sense to me when I saw that. I didn't check into it because I just didn't believe it on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you trade it for a defensive tackle?
When they're just yeah.
And by the way, his grade should have been. It's just the left tackle is a higher valued position. It's either number two or number three on your value board for a position. Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle is not. I didn't get it, so I didn't.
Right.
Unless a lot of people reported, then I would have found out. I would have gotten it.
Sure. Yeah, Miami's 13 and okay. Carolina was 16. So those are the
you traded
the
for left
reasons.
Tackle. I mean, here's your future left tackle. Go get him. I mean, it's just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So the only thing with Dillard that I would agree with you on maybe not a red flag, but a concern or something you want to see improvement, you said, in getting stronger.
Core strength.
I noticed that, you know, for a guy who's comes from a program that doesn't run a whole lot, you wonder how well he's going to be as a run blocker. And secondarily, even in pass protection, the Pac-12 did not produce a whole lot of blue chip pass rushing talent this year. So you wonder about the level of competition of all these DNs and edge rushers who are coming out in the first round, you know, your Brian Burns's and your Cleveland Farrells and guys like that. I don't think Rashawn Gary, I don't think any of them came from the Pac-12. No USC, Utah, or anything like that. But Utah, USC, Washington are good defensive schools. They're always producing good defensive players. I have one scout tell me that there are a lot of good underclassmen rushers who will probably come out next year in those schools. So it's not like Dillard was going up against a bunch of nobodies, but you just do question, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of matchups against the Rashawn Garys of the world or the Cleveland Farrells, but he'll have a lot of time to work.
Yeah, and he's got Jeff Stoutland as a coach who wanted him badly. 4.96 40, by the way. Not that he 40, not that breaking a 5 on a 40-yard dash really mattered for linemen, but it shows the athleticism.
He's a good athlete, right?
His 10-yard split was terrific. He's just a big time athlete, very smart kid, hard worker. It's yet another player is represented by Rep 1. I think that's 8 players now. It's either 8 or 9 now because Arcega Whiteside is also represented by Rep 1. That's incredible. I've never heard of that before.
Really interesting.
But the Eagles have a long history of representing players. Not that it has any bearing on taking a player who represents them, but it's just amazing that they represent a coach. It's amazing to me that you have so many players represented by the same agency. So
let's look at depth now, or just the overall picture, because you have Jason Peters, Isaac Seumalo, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Brooks, I'm going to put it right guard. Obviously, a status in question. Lane Johnson, right tackle. And then after that, you've got some interesting depth. You've got Dillard, right? You have Matt Pryor. You have Big V and Jordan Mailata. Those are some good names. I mean, you have some experience there, but you also have some youth, some draftable youth and kids like Pryor. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with Big V.
I don't know if they've made a decision yet, but do not be surprised to see him start playing at guard.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing official here, but I know from talking to Eagles last year, they thought he could play guard. He might have actually. I'd have to look it up.
I wonder if he'd be better at guard, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and look, he got his weight down when he was drafted. He was too heavy. You know, they got his weight down to a good number. My sense is they believe he could probably play it. We'll see if he does, but it's something we should probably mention because there's a possibility of it. I think
to play tackle in the NFL, you have to have really upper end, high end athleticism. To play guard, you got to be a little bit tougher and a little bit bigger. You know, tougher and stronger.
He's big.
He never struck me as a great athlete. The footwork has never been fantastic. I think he's played left tackle because that's where they put him at because he does have some of the size.
He's
6'6", which is a little bit tall for guard. But we've seen Todd Herrmann's play guard, and he's about 6'6", too. So.
And he convinced – by the way, Jeff, Todd's willingness to play guard extended his career. because you remember he had a lot of injuries.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll have more information on the next pod on that. We'll follow up with it for sure.
All right, round two. Yep. Miles Sanders is the first pick at 53rd, right? 53rd, 52nd, 53rd, I forget. And then Arcega-Whiteside. I love this. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That's that is a fantastic name alone right there. Arcega-Whiteside. Interesting picks, Adam. I'll let you go first on how you feel about them.
So, look, I felt all along they were going to get a running back in the second or third. They were not going to take Josh Jacobs, who I would have liked to have seen there, but I kind of told our listeners it wasn't going to happen. The only thing I don't like is he only had 1 year of production. I mean, his first two, I guess it's a plus that he didn't get knocked around very much. He only had 64 total touches his first two seasons, 56 carries in those two seasons. Last season, he had 220, which is a generally good, strong number. You like the yards per carry. Not a great kickoff returner. I know some people have mentioned that. He only averaged about 20 yards per return,
right,
which is not great. You want to be 24, 25, but I don't want to worry about that. Very, very explosive player, okay? Very explosive player. He's a stop and start division running back. I'm looking at a scouting report I got actually from an NFL coach. Hits it, doesn't hesitate, knows what he wants. A good contact balance. Would like to be more consistent with vision. We gave him a second round grade. That's where the Eagles took him.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous upside. Good kid. Good character. Hard worker. Was it unfortunately in a rotation before this? So Jeff, as you know, if you think he's great, you can't say that because he's only in 1 year. The tape's very good,
right?
But you need to see more. You need to see more from him, and we'll get into kind of the rotation in a minute. But Jeff, from the people I trust, he was not the first. Josh Jacobs is a better football player all around because he does everything.
Yes.
Whereas Sanders is more flashy.
Right.
Josh Jacobs is not.
Right.
This kid is explosive. But the question that the people I trust told me, they're not sure if he's a lead back. They think he's in the mix immediately. But whether, Jeff, he's an every down back, he could be. But you're not basing it on enough information.
I think that's a fair and accurate statement. It's similar to something I put out on Twitter that night, Adam, that got me killed.
What'd you say?
Well, I thought I was just putting out a very balanced, accurate tweet, and I wrote that he's good. He fits the offense well because he's, you know, Penn State runs the zone, the inside zone, and that's what the Eagles do. He's a good inside zone runner, and he's explosive. But the two things that stood out to me, and I guess I have to remind some people, I'm a Penn State alum, I'm a Penn State fan, I watch every game, is that A, he's only had really 1 year of being a starter, and B, I don't think he consistently, for the explosion that he does have, I don't think he consistently makes people miss as much as your higher end first round, second round running backs do. Now that again might just be because of lack of experience. You know, he's not a guy who's been the starter for 2 or 3 years like Saquon Barkley was. So all the backlash I got was one, people saying that I was holding it against him that he was a 1 year starter. No, I'm not holding it against him at all. That's not a negative as far as his abilities. I understand Saquon Barkley was the starter there. I'm not knocking him for that. But what I'm saying is, as you just echoed, Adam, scouts, talent evaluators, people who watch tape, they like more than just 13 or 14 starts. They like to have a fuller body of work. And they really, I found this out a couple of years ago, when it comes to running backs and wide receivers especially, because they're so dependent on the line or the quarterback, right? They really like to see more than just 1 year. They get worried about the one-year wonder types. I remember a couple of years ago, someone told me Kevin White should not be a top 10 pick. He's going to be, but he's only had 1 year at West Virginia, and there's just not enough tape that says he can consistently be a great player. And sure enough, Kevin White has not been a very good wide receiver. He hasn't stayed healthy either in the NFL. So that's all my point was. It's not that he can't be good. It's just that you would be concerned about someone who, A, only has a year of starting under his ability, and B, like I said, I know that when he got drafted, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the ESPN NFL Networks, they were showing all these highlights of him making people miss. Yes, I'm aware he can do that. As you mentioned, he's explosive, but there were games, and I'll just pick a few. You know, Michigan, 7 carries for 14 yards. That was Rutgers. He was 27 for 88. That's a 3.3 yards per carry. Iowa, 17 for 62. Those are good defensive teams that he did not have amazing games against. Now, that might not have more to do with how the offense was going, how the quarterback. There's so many factors that go involved. I just, as an observer who watched him every game, I thought there were times where he maybe left some meat on the bone.
He's one. Okay, so speaking of that, so he's a kind of guy that leaves personnel people very intrigued. They want to see more from him.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing is he leaves you wanting to see more. That's actually a good thing.
It is.
So they're going to see it year one. So
and a draft is a projection.
Yeah, because he only started 1 year. So I think the way it'll work is, because I know that, well, we'll get to the questions. Maybe it's in our questions.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have a lot of running backs, and they didn't move Wendell Smallwood. Josh Adams, they can't move. He's coming off an injury.
Right.
Corey Clement is now on the final year of his deal. And Jordan Howard's on the final year of his deal. So
yeah.
Miles Sanders could be the last man standing. And by the way, Josh Adams, he actually signed a 2-year deal. So he actually is an exclusive rights free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
So folks, you really couldn't trade anyone.
Yeah.
You kind of, well, you could, but you don't know about Donnell Pumphrey. Boston Scott is a non-factor. There could be, you know, look, next year it's a situation where they may not have anybody other right. than this kid.
Right.
Sanders.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward. We had Corey Clement on with us when we were at Mayfair a couple of weeks ago. Great show. You should check out Adam's Twitter account at Kaplan NFL. Corey lost a lot of weight to make himself more explosive. I'm going to say this. Corey ain't going down without a fight.
No, he's really good.
And I'm really curious to see what happens if both Miles and Corey have great camps and what that means for the whole run. And we'll get
Howard,
into it later.
Sure, for Howard.
What it means for everybody.
Sure. Okay.
So I like the pick. It's an okay pick, but I have questions, and I think that's fair to say.
Okay, I think it's better than okay. But I think what you're saying is we need to see more. He's not definitely going to be a great player at the next level because he's only done it for 1 year.
Yeah, can I say there's a boom bust potential here? Like he could be a very good potential. He could be just a guy.
It would surprise me if he would be.
He only caught 24 balls last. It's not like he's this great pass catching.
Well,
the other
problem is in college football, depending on the program, the backs don't catch a lot of football.
Sure.
24 isn't bad for the first year.
Corey showed us that, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. You should definitely see that interview. So. That's it for their first two picks. And then we've got what, Arcega-Whiteside?
Yeah, 57, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the Stanford wide receiver. I think a lot of people were surprised that they would take a wide receiver there. You and I talked about maybe them probably targeting a speed wide receiver, but instead they went the other way with more of an Alshon-like wide receiver.
Yeah, there are some similarities. So this is from a position coach. Terrific at tracking the ball, just in the ball very well, unlike most of the kids in this group. He adjusted after the ball was snapped to the catch point.
Mm-hmm.
Great with running after the catch. The question at this level is, can he get the same separation? Because he got very good separation, and he actually dominated games where the DBs could not handle him because he's so dominant. But he's a little bit different.
Very good coming out of his breaks, by the way. Really nice.
Very good. He gets open.
Yeah.
He's very smart intellectually. He was did very well in the classroom. What this position coach wondered if, because he's not very fast, he did run a 4.49 at his pro day, but he doesn't really play to that. He plays to the mid 4.5s. This coach wondered at this on tape, he does not look very fast, and he wonders with press coverage, can he get off? No, he got off, and he got off coverage very well in college, but coverage are different here. But then can he get separation? Because as you said, Jeff, it's a projection.
Right.
College tape is so much different because of spacing. Than pro tape. It's almost completely different. It's not just the hash mark. It's based on coverages
right.
and athleticism and how they play you. So I think what he's going to do, guys, I think he's going to help the Eagles in the red zone. Clearly, because I
great red zone receiver.
As soon as he was drafted,
yeah.
I threw something on Twitter. I said, well, there you know where he's going to be used in the red zone.
Right.
And you take Deshaun off the field, and he'll be their fourth receiver probably versus Matt Collins. I think Collins is a tremendous special teams player. He didn't play last season. So I see him being a fourth receiver this season.
Yeah, again, a situation where now you have really good depth. I mean, better depth than certainly when the offseason started.
Yeah, they
absolutely
sure.
needed a guy.
Sure.
What I like about him is, Adam, he represents what you've seen in the NFL out of the wide receiver position now. You see a lot of guys who aren't 4.2, 4.3 runners, right? They're big, they're tall, and if they can't create separation on speed alone, what they can do is create separation through contested catches, back shoulder throws. Now, that's something you have to get Carson Wentz to work on with the back shoulder throws and then the jump balls, which he doesn't seem to throw as much as some other guys. But now that he's got Alshon and him, he may be working on that a little bit more. So I think that, again, you would have thought maybe the Eagles would have went safety there, but it's my understanding that they just felt the value on this guy, JJ, was too high
by the way,
compared to what they
so
had
you
left
and I
at
talked
safety.
About Gardner Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
From Florida,
third round.
Clearly did not have a second round grade on him.
Right,
because that would, as you just said, that would have been the spot to take him.
Right, there were some character red flags.
Okay.
Not illegal, but more like his attitude, how, you know, whether or not he was really good fit.
Whatever
the
reason
room.
Is, yeah. They didn't think he was a second round player.
Right.
They did on Arcega-Whiteside. And they're, I know this, their scouting group was very, very high on him. Their college scouting group. And this was a player they had a very good feel for because they've been scouting him. He's a fourth year junior. They just had a feel for him. They've been tracking him for a while, and he'll be on the team. I don't know about special teams. I have no idea if he plays special teams, but I know this. They are real deep on offense. The Eagles are.
Yeah,
they're building. You had said
skill position. Yeah,
you know what was your overview of the draft? Well, it's very clear to me that this is a draft. It wasn't. I know it's where their board fell.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they're really helping Carson Wentz with passing options.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go to an actual defensive player that they selected in round four, Sharif Miller. Penn State. By the way, Penn State is now the new West Virginia.
How about that, huh?
Right? I mean, yeah. It used to be, whether it was Shelton Gibson or Wendell Small. We were talking about West Virginia kids. Now it's Penn State kids. I like that. I loved watching Sharif Miller play at Penn State. His quickness off the edges, to me, is what makes him such an ideal fit in Jim's scheme. He's got to work on some things, tackling, run, pursuit. But as far as an edge rusher, a situational one, which you would think he would start off with, it's a good fit.
Yeah, he was a redshirt junior. 6'4 and a half, 254 at the combine, 10 and a eighth hand, so he's got good hands.
Mm-hmm.
His 40 time is ridiculous. Now, again, it doesn't really matter because that D lineman better not be running straight for 40 yards, but at 4.69,
yeah,
folks, that's a tight end number.
Yeah.
Here's from a scouting report from a coach. Needs to get stronger physically, has good length. Junior tape is good. His 2017 tape was intriguing. He took it to another level. This season, he just started to scratch the ability of what's inside of him this past season. Very big upside, 15 tackles for a loss, 7.5 sacks, 41 total tackles. Good effort, good first step.
Mm-hmm.
Just started to develop some pass rush moves this last season. Look, my friend said, his coach told me, he was like, I would have loved to have coached him. I really look forward to seeing how he develops because we had a fourth like the Eagles did on him. Actually, a high four on him.
Yeah, I actually thought he was going to go a little later in the draft. Yeah. But sometimes when a guy fits your scheme really well and you feel like
wide
you can
nine is again, upfield.
You can
upfield.
Project.
Yes.
Right.
This is a fit. This is a scheme fit. This is a okay. Now Philip Daniels has a job here. This is a Philip Daniels has a big job on his hands here.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to start developing some younger defensive linemen. Joshua got hurt last season.
Right.
He's on the outside looking in. Sharif Miller will be on the team almost certainly.
Right.
He would have to have a what was the kid that the Eagles drafted 2 years ago, running back, who they cut and who's back on the roster?
Tynell Pumphrey.
Yeah, he would have to have a Pumphrey-like training camp not to be on the roster.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. He's got some good people to learn. You know, he's almost like a Vinny. Vinny grew up in New Jersey, rooted for the Eagles. This kid grew up in Philly, rooted for the Eagles.
George Washington High School. He's Northeast Philly, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a good story. And look, I mean, if you think about it, there were about probably between 20 and 25 edge rushers that went, whether they're a D-end or a DT, I should say rushers, D-end, DT, or OLB, in the first three rounds. So because this was such a great defensive line class, maybe in another year, this guy would have been a second or third rounder. So that's kind of, again, you talk about the value of being able to get some guy because of this draft being loaded with defensive talent.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a guy that'll help him more his second year than his first year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. They got an upside developmental defensive end. That was one of my eight needs for this team, and they got one of them. So good for them. And again, it was kind of weird how they only had five picks. It's not what I thought going in.
Definitely not.
Yeah, that's not what I think when I think of Howie Roseman, but that didn't happen. But then the fifth round pick, Jeff.
You're excited about this.
Yeah, I've known about him for a couple years. Clayton Thorson is a quarterback from Northwestern. I didn't know that they were going to draft him, but here's what I could tell you. I thought for sure if they had eight picks in this draft or more, they were taking quarterback no matter what. I thought very strongly about it.
I believe you said that in our last pod.
I didn't think it would be with five picks, though.
Right.
That's where I got it wrong, but I didn't know. Here's what I could tell you. Had he not suffered a torn ACL, and it's awful how he suffered it, he was on a trick play. He caught a 24-yard pass on a trick play during the Music City Bowl 2 years ago. It was to end their season. It was in December 29th, 2017, and he suffered a torn ACL. By the way, he's also older. He turns 24 in December. I'm told that he probably, had he not torn his ACL based on his trajectory, would have, no question, would have not gotten out of the third round. He was not himself last season. He did all that he could, but he clearly is not the player he was before the injury. But Howie talked about it, Jeff. You need time. It's a two-year process with an ACL, not one. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he was rehabbing he had no offseason. He was rehabbing last year.
Yeah, he's not a lot of guy I asked scouts about going into the draft, because who would have thought the Eagles were going to draft Clayton Thorson in the fifth round? But as a Penn State fan who's watched every Penn State Northwestern game, I've always admired this kid. He's tough. Right, I love that program. Pat Fitzgerald does an excellent job at Northwestern. He's very athletic, very mobile. Yeah, I mean, he's
seven rushes per game.
Yeah, he fits exactly what the Eagles look for. Good arm. Good. His accuracy, I think people would like to be better. It was around 59%. But again, this goes back to judging skill position players.
Wentz was not a high percentage guy.
And also, he's not throwing to NFL receivers and tight ends, and he's not having NFL offensive linemen blocking for him. So you put him on in a professional environment, and you take the skill set that he does have, and you hone it with professional players around him, and you might hit on something. I always felt watching him that he could play at the next level. I just didn't know what he would be.
Right. So the issue now is for people. Okay. So when we talk about his role, here's the way I see it. The Eagles typically only draft two quarterbacks. He'll be the third quarterback. He'll be on the team unless he's a terrible training camp. So he figures to be the third quarterback who won't dress, figures to make the team. He won't dress probably at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know what this is, Jared? This is a learning, develop him like they develop Sudfeld.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what his season will be now. Remember, Sudfeld is unrestricted after this year. It's highly unlikely he'd come back. Only because the belief around the league is that Sudfeld will be able to compete for a starting job elsewhere down the road.
Right.
I'm told they've offered him at least one extension, which he's turned down. Why, if you're him, why would you sign an extension?
I totally agree with him.
I get the Eagles thing, but if I'm him, why would you accept it?
He's not hoping, but he's assuming there may be some opportunities to get in there and play if Carson has an injury.
Right.
All he has to do is look good for two or three games, and he can parlay that into some kind of contract. And then if that happens, right, then the pick of Thorson or the development of Thorson becomes that much more understandable and instrumental.
Right. So this, to me, is a good year for him to develop. So, again, only five picks. I think all of them make sense. Like, there have been some drafts with the Eagles over the years. I'm like, why did they do that? It'll match up for what personnel people told me.
Sure.
Don't have any criticisms of anything they did from personnel people I trust. Coaches like them.
It's really the first draft, maybe the first or second draft, where I felt they really just went with their board and didn't even in any single round do you feel like, oh, well, they got that because they need that. I mean, the running back is not just a they didn't need a running back for 2019, but they needed a really good player. Yeah. They've been better for such a long time.
Right. Sanders, no offense to our friend Corey Clement. I mean, Sanders is, when we talk about special ability, he has it.
Yeah.
And they haven't had anything like this for 10 years. I mean, since McCoy was drafted, and obviously since they traded him to Buffalo, they haven't had this, and they now have one.
Type of athlete at that position.
I mean, this kid's really, really talented.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a great athlete.
It's funny. The two first picks are athletes. The third pick, Arcega Whiteside, is a very good athlete in terms of what he does. Now, he's not a fast guy.
Right.
But, boy, he attacks the football, and he's ultra, ultra competitive all the time. Mm-hmm. I forgot to add that. I'm looking at this report I got from a coach. Miller's got tremendous upside. And Thorson, again, had he not gotten hurt, you might be looking at a guy could have actually, if he had a monster senior year, not coming off an ACL, might have been a second round pick.
And so, again, very athletic for the position, just like Sharif Miller, very explosive off the edges. So, I mean, clearly they prioritize good, smart kids who have great athleticism. And if they're not the greatest athlete in the world like Arcega, then they bring something else, competitive thirst and great bloodlines and just, you know, anxious to play football every day.
All right. So after, actually, seventh round, they trade for Rashawn Ridgeway.
Mm-hmm.
And they also re-sign Timmy Jernigan.
Yep.
So defensive tackle, folks, for this season, not a need at all.
Right.
Because don't forget about Trayvon Hester, who they really like, who flashed a little bit. So they're good there. You had brought up a point before we get out of here, and I thought it was interesting. You know, in nickel, they like to slide Vinnie Curry or Graham. And now, we don't know. Chris Long sounds like he's not coming back.
It sounds that way, right.
If I were him, I wouldn't worry about any of those. He would still be the third DN. I don't know why. We'll know by probably the next podcast the following week whether he's going to be back or not for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Jernigan's back, and I told our listeners exclusively, I never put it out on Twitter. Just so you know, I put very little Eagles information on Twitter. I said for a podcast, so make sure you listen every week. The scoops are coming here, folks. I'm not giving it out for free. You got to actually invest in our podcast. But right now, if you really look at it, Jernigan's back.
Mm-hmm.
We told our listeners that they left the door open. I didn't give it a high percentage. So defensive end to me, if Long is not back, My only concern is Curry's not a great pass rusher. Long is a better pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Tayshaun Hall, Howie Roseman mentioned in the press conference, you still don't know about him. And Miller's a rookie, and Joe Osman they like, but I mean, he's like a fifth end.
Right.
So you don't have a lot of great pass rushers as sub packages.
I will get into this the next podcast when we start talking about positional battles, but I'll just leave you with this. Just because Jim Schwartz in the past has had his quote-unquote pass rushing line doesn't mean he can't now have two different types of pass rushing lines based on the matchups, and maybe instead of having Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox on it, you get Vinnie Curry, or you have a couple of different pass rushing packages and wait to see which one emerges as your best one, or you just use more than one.
It would be nice if Miller or Sweat could actually show, give him
that would be nice.
15 snaps a game and a couple, you know, good rushes. So
right.
Overall, I'd say it was an interesting draft. Again, I thought they'd have more draft picks. But I thought it was a good draft for them. I thought it. I didn't feel like when Howie Roseman would miss many years ago, it would be because they drafted more for immediate need rather than needs down the road. And when you're a good football team, you draft like this, and they did a good job.
All right, so we got about a minute and a half, so let's try to fly through one or two questions from our for the Ask the Insiders. From Guillermo Paglia, I hope I didn't butcher that name, at Gijoin on Twitter. How would you rank the top four positional concerns in the roster after the draft? Do you have positional concerns? Well, number one would be linebacker still.
Linebacker would be the biggest one, but right. Eagles mix and match very, very well.
Correct, especially using
They need a veteran. They need another player.
And I would still say safety. You know, I think if they were to get hit with injuries there, it would not be a great
Well, Sendejo,
great
you've
them.
Got Sendejo.
Yeah, but he's not as versatile as some of the other safeties
an athlete,
they've had
right.
in the past.
And Maddox, to me, has had versatility.
Right.
Maybe they sign a safety. We'll see.
Right. And I would say if quarterback, because if Carson Wentz gets hurt, there's no Nick Foles.
Well, Sudfeld has never he's never started a game.
Right. That's all. Yeah.
That would be a concern. I would say
a
veteran
I'm not blaming
guard.
Them.
Right.
My only thing is
they don't have a veteran guard on the roster.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they don't have a veteran backup guard.
That's fair.
I know Isaac could play. Isaac Seumalo could play center.
Right.
But unless they move Big V to guard, and we'll have more word. We'll see. We don't know yet what they're doing there.
Right.
If they don't move him to the guard, then where's your veteran backup guard who started a game? They don't have that.
Good point. It was a big role for Steph Wisniewski 2 years ago. All right, last question. At Micho 1992, Dimitri Borandis. Do you think the Eagles will still pursue two tight end sets more this year?
Yes.
Now that they drafted, even that with drafting another receiver?
Yes.
I agree.
I'm telling you, I will be... I said last November, I used the term as an off-season project. Doug Peters has admitted it. He actually talked about it at the owners' meetings. It's coming. I just don't know, are they going to be more two tight ends or more 13 personnel? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
No idea.
But I'll answer the question absolutely positive. They'll be way more than last year.
Yeah, and I think the whole Nelson Agholor thing, he's on the team for now. It's still a little bit up in the air, but even if they bring him in to the season.
Well, they don't have a slot receiver. There's really no one out there who could... He's a good slot receiver.
He is a very – I agree with you. He's a good slot receiver.
See, they want to get to the Super Bowl. Why would you move on from the guy? Plus, he could also play outside.
And you
of
can afford it for 1 year.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. All right, that'll do it for Inside the Birds, the leading podcast in Eagles Intel. For Adam Kaplan, I'm Jeff Mosher. Thanks for riding with us Inside the Birds.